This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. Breaking news out of Switzerland. The Iranian nuclear talks will continue in new phase.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Do you expect no deal to go public today and they would just get a 90-day extension?
They will declare success, there's no doubt about it, because in negotiation you never fail. But if anybody thinks that Iran has really made any substantial concession here, they're not listening careful enough. And the Iranians really are never going to make substantial concessions because they're determined to get nuclear weapons.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
North Korea not only has a nuclear bomb, but they have missiles capable of using those bombs. And a lot of people are concerned the same thing is going to happen with Iran right now. Why shouldn't they be so concerned?
Well, just from a technical standpoint, we're at completely different places when we look at Iran's nuclear program today than we were with North Korea's. And if you just look at the fact that for the last months we've been negotiating, we've been living under the Joint Plan of Action, where Iran's nuclear program is frozen, it's rolled back in key areas, and the IAEA has confirmed they've lived up to their commitments. We're also talking about much more transparency, much more verification, and we will not take a bad deal, Wolf.
Do you agree with me that no matter what the deal is, a lot of Americans say we don't like it because it's just too long and it's too chaotic?
Oh, it's more than chaotic. It's a surrender at every level.
I think what the administration fears, and one reason they have to declare success today, is that the proponents of legislation in Congress for snapback sanctions or renewed sanctions are going to say, look, we waited till the end of March. You asked us not to bring this to a vote in the Senate. We waited till the end of March. You still don't have an agreement. We want to vote. We'll see if the administration now is successful again in putting that off.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The Iranian nuclear talks will be extended until the end of June. That report came out this morning through the Associated Press. After 6 days of marathon nuclear talks with mixed results, Iran and the P5 plus one, that is the United States, the UK, France, China, Russia, plus the plus one is Germany, will be prepared to issue a general statement later today. We think this will be around somewhere around 6 p.m. Eastern time, but that could, you know, it could come before or after because the time difference in Europe, I would suspect it would be sometime before midnight in Europe. That would be right around 6 p.m. Eastern time today. And it's really a short agreement to continue talks in a new phase aimed at reaching a final agreement by the end of June. Now, the first deadline for this talk was by March 31st today to have a framework agreement. So not all the details hammered out, but to have basically most of it figured out. Now we're just seeing it's really just an agreement to continue the talks. But Than, we said it yesterday on the broadcast, both of us expected these talks would continue. Don't expect a lot in this agreement that will be announced later today. They may not even have signatures on it. So it may just be something very generic that has neither signatures from our government or the other governments and the Iranian government, but the talks will continue.
This is an agreement to continue talking, Jordan. There was no way they were going to walk away and say the talks have failed, we're walking away, we're quitting this. But there are some key points here. What is the United States Congress going to do? Remember, they had wanted some solid assurances in order to allow those rollback sanctions to stand, in order to set aside additional sanctions, Jordan. There's a large bipartisan group that want additional sanctions on Iran. Will what is announced later this afternoon put that vote on sanctions, put the consideration of sanctions on hold? That remains to be seen.
When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about the details of what to expect in this agreement. But what we're concerned about is, of course, Pastor Saeed Abedini and the other Americans imprisoned in Iran illegally who have not yet been returned home. And we're getting past these deadlines and dates and key moments and hurdles, and Iran still has not released this American pastor. As we approach Easter, it's a time to speak out and remind the White House, no deal with Iran without Saeed. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And add your name to that petition telling the White House and President Obama, no deal without Saeed. Or sign the petition online at aclj.org.
As negotiations intensify to reach a deal over Iran's nuclear capabilities, the focus is once again on Iran. While the Obama administration has repeatedly spoke out on behalf of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, now is the time for his release. Now more than ever, it's critical that as nuclear negotiations with Iran continue to move forward, the U.S. must not make a final deal with Iran until Pastor Saeed is released. Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition, No Deals with Iran Without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are going to be taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And final day of the month, March 31st, we want to encourage you. We have a matching challenge, and the matching challenge will be over at midnight tonight. But anything you're able to donate to the ACLJ is double the impact. So your financial contribution is doubled. And so it's a great time if you've thought about making a financial contribution to the ACLJ or you have in the past. This is a great time to do so. You can make that donation online and be part of the matching challenge at aclj.org or by calling our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and be a part of the matching challenge online. We're, of course, talking about Iran. The breaking news, if you missed the first segment of the broadcast, is that the talks will continue. We all predicted that yesterday on the broadcast, that the Obama administration would not walk away from the talks. But there are some difficulties, which we'll talk about as we take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Robert calling from California online, too. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Jordan, Robert Smart here, BMX Ministry out of Camarillo, California.
Hey, Robert, thanks for calling.
Hey, buddy, we have to stop all of Iran's nuclear programs, not have these talks. We have to stop these programs. That's my opinion. I want to share that, and what do you think?
Well, you know, I agree with you, Robert, that we need to stop it. The question is how, and that's the big debate that's going on right now. Some of us who believe that you can never really come up with a real framework with Iran and this specific government. So when I talk about Iran, I mean the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and their the president in Iran, but especially because it's still got this religious theocracy set up through the Ayatollah. And in the past, they have shown not to be trustworthy when it comes to inspectors from the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, and more similar to North Korea, so that even when you get towards a deal, whether that deal is actually whether they actually are beholden to that deal and actually follow through with the deal is another serious question. So can you trust a nuclear Iran, which this deal would be allowing, a nuclear Iran that is telling you we won't develop a nuclear weapon? Now, the problem is they take all these steps where their rhetoric says one thing, we don't have an intention of a nuclear weapon. But then their actions say something else. When they refused to ship out the enriched uranium that would take it to weapons grade. And that's the latest problem in the talks that they've hit, the latest stumble that they've hit. That when they refuse to have a certain amount of centrifuges, and they want to keep it at the thousands of centrifuges level, which you don't need for a peaceful nuclear program. Those actions speak louder than words. And, of course, you combine those actions with the other words like destroying Israel and the Jewish state and the rhetoric, the death to America rhetoric. And you think, okay, we're negotiating with these people, and they're saying death to America at their rallies at home, and we're going to give them a nuclear program, and we're just negotiating the specifics of that. And that is where we get into some problems. I mean, here's what we're being told right now about the framework, that basically there's going to be a because the obstacles that remain on the uranium enrichment that I was just talking about, and the limits on the nuclear research and development, and the timing and the scope of the sanctions relief, and that's important when it comes to Pastor Saeed. So put a star next to that, because when you're talking about that sanctions relief, that's what the U.S. is doing now in the P5 plus one to help Iran economically. So they're getting a benefit, not just by having an agreement to start their own nuclear program that would be okayed by the world, a so-called peaceful program, if you want to believe that, but they're also getting economic relief through these talks, and they're trying to push for more. That, of course, is very important, because how much do we give before there's nothing else to give? And if these talks don't come up with a real significant deal, it's very difficult. We predicted that the talks would continue and they would get past this deadline. It's difficult to see how they're going to have a deal by the end of June, a comprehensive nuclear deal. And it's difficult to see that if they could even get this before the administration is finished, before the Obama administration is done. Will they talk throughout? Probably. So I'm not sure that they'll ever stop these talks under the Obama administration. But supposedly what we're going to see is a broad framework that leaves key details unresolved, and basically a joint statement accompanied by additional documents that outline some more detailed understandings, allowing the sides to claim that there has been enough progress made thus far to have a new round of talks. But Iran has not yet signed off on the documents. So we don't even know if there'll be and exact signatures from these. So we'll continue to take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we need to stand with Pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran over 2.5 years. He's been away from his family nearly 3 years now. And he is just one of those, of course, experiencing persecution around the world, but especially in the Muslim world because of his Christian faith. But here we are, the United States, sitting across the table right now in Geneva. And our leaders that have spoken out for Saeed have not got him home yet. And this is passing by another significant milestone without his release. So we believe the pressure's got to be ratcheted up right now, as so much attention is on Iran. If you are with us, you believe there should be no deal whatsoever. Not that Saeed should be tied to a deal, by the way, but there should be no deal. And these talks really shouldn't continue without Saeed's release. Call our toll-free number now and add your name to the petition. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Let's go right back to the phones. We'll go to Patty in South Carolina on line one. Patty, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey there. My understanding is that these countries, including Iran, are kind of getting with ISIS, and their goal is to get Israel. And my thing is like yesterday, my daughter sent me a link, and I didn't even know what it was, but it was an online video of where these ISIS, and this, to my knowledge, was not on TV, was sitting there just, they took and was literally beheading all these men. And it was barbaric. I mean, I didn't watch all of it. I saw it from a glimpse. I couldn't watch it. But my thing is why does the American public not see this? Why does it not see it? Why is it being allowed? And why on Green Acres were we compared to the Christian crusaders?
Well, yeah, let me tell you something. First of all, the brutality level of ISIS gets to a point where it's difficult for the news to even show it on television. I mean, that's the truth. They can't even show all of the images. Though I think there's a certain point where you get to where it is tough for people to realize how brutal it is if they don't see it. And the truth is, ISIS films it. as you saw, Patty, they filmed the burning alive of the Jordanian pilot that they put into a cage and then burned alive. They filmed these beheadings. They filmed beheadings of Americans. And some of it is the media can only show. They'll sometimes show still images in some of these videos, and you don't want to give ISIS the propaganda value. They're trying to use this, as sick as it sounds, to recruit people. But it underscores how complicated this region has become now. And for all the people to be dealing with in the world, when it comes to world leaders, President Obama has been the least clear. So take Iraq, for instance. You hear that today that ISIS has been beaten back into Crete and the Iraqi security forces have taken over. But the truth, who's taken over? Well, it's hard to figure out exactly. Is it the Iraqi security forces, really, or is it the Iranian-backed Shia groups like Hezbollah who have fought alongside U.S.-funded groups inside Iraq to fight back against the Sunni-aligned Islamic State? Okay, so that's one complication. There's some strange allies, even if they're not saying they're allies, because they're fighting the same enemy. So it's not really enemy of my friend. They're still all enemies, but when they claim victory, who exactly wins there? Okay, going to Syria. You have President Assad saying ISIS is growing, ISIS is expanding, the Sunni world is funding them, especially in the Middle East, these Sunni governments, and the U.S. has got to wake up. It's not, the airstrikes are not going to be enough. Now, I put everything with anything Assad says with an asterisk, but we do see the expansion of the Islamic State. And what's the problem there? Well, go into Yemen. In Yemen, you have now Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan, and some of the other Gulf states looking at putting together a Sunni military force, similar to kind of a NATO, but for the Arab world, an Arab League force, not just to conduct airstrikes against Iranian-backed Shia rebels, but also to possibly take power. So in one hand, you have the Iranian-backed Shia rebels fighting ISIS. On the other hand, you have Iranian-backed Shia rebels being fought by our allies who are trying to throw out governments like in Yemen. So it's a very complicated, difficult situation. And all that becomes more complicated when you deal with the realities of Washington, D.C., the talk of sanctions, what will happen next. We'll get into that when we come back from the break. We want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. This final day of March, we have a matching challenge. That means anything you donate is doubled, so you double the impact of your donation to the American Center for Law and Justice. If you're able to make a financial contribution, or you have in the past and you've thought about doing so again, this is a great time to take advantage and double the impact of that gift. You can make the donation online safely and securely at aclj.org, that's aclj.org, or by phone, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and make that donation online.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. As negotiations intensify to reach a deal over Iran's nuclear capabilities, the focus is once again on Iran. While the Obama administration has repeatedly spoke out on behalf of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, now is the time for his release. Now more than ever, it's critical that as nuclear negotiations with Iran continue to move forward, the U.S. must not make a final deal with Iran until Pastor Saeed is released. Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition, No Deals with Iran Without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Secular Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember our matching challenge. You can double the impact of a financial contribution to the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org if you make that donation online. This is the final day. It's the end of the month, March 31st. And then if you'd rather make the donation by phone, you can absolutely do that. Our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We also have a petition up. Over 270,000 of you have signed it. A petition to let President Obama know no deals with Iran without the release of Saeed Abedini. And so far, you know, this is another milestone. If you're just joining us, the U.S. government has announced that they will extend the nuclear talks into June. There will supposedly be some kind of document, real basic document, very broad framework released later today. We will analyze that and have our opinions on it tomorrow. But I can tell you that it's much less than what the those negotiating wanted to have by the end of this month. And they're still saying that they want to have a full comprehensive deal by the end of June. I don't even know if that's possible when you talk about the complexities of a nuclear program deal. Because truthfully, what the Obama administration is now negotiating is not whether or not Iran will be nuclear, but whether how far Iran's nuclear program can go. There's also the talk of sanction. We've got phone calls about that. I want to take your phone calls now. Let's go to Rachel in California on line 3. Rachel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, can't Congress say that unless Saeed is immediately released, we will immediately reapply the sanctions and even increase them? So the issue is not just no deal with Iran without Saeed, but no continued negotiation with Iran without the release of Saeed and the other Americans.
Well, I think that, you know, could Congress do that? I think that what we more likely would see is Congress increasing the sanctions because it's a nuclear issue. Saeed has been throughout this in the resolutions that have been passed by Congress. Let me go to Than Bennett, because Than, you know, there's been a concern, and it's an understandable one, that tying Saeed too much to the nuclear talks, which we oppose doing at all, was going to create a problem where he would be used as a pawn. Now, the truth is, to some extent, that problem has come to light. It's happened because the nuclear talks, they began. Saeed was not yet home, so it wasn't done as a precondition. It wasn't done as a confidence-building measure before the talks began. Now they're getting past hurdles, like this hurdle of the March 31st deadline for some kind of framework, and they're saying they're going to release that later today, and Saeed is not yet released. So Congress is looking at, one, new sanctions, and we'll probably know in the next 24 hours about that or so by the end of this week. And they've continued to speak out for Saeed, but I think there is that concern about saying that Saeed has got to be part of a nuclear deal. Because, again, folks, many of you, including us, are questioning this deal in itself and whether we should be coming up with a nuclear deal with Iran at all.
Yeah, I think tying Saeed directly to the sanctions would actually be a mistake. But the questions of sanctions, whether they be UN-based or US-based, is definitely a significant one. People need to remember the reason that Iran got this first layer of sanction relief in the very first place was to engage in these conversations. So it's going to depend a great deal on what comes out today. And that additional document that's going to accompany this so-called agreement, Jordan, I think that is really going to determine what Congress does on those U.S.-based sanctions. It's going to determine in two phases. What is in that document? How many alleged concessions, or at least a framework of concessions, are in there? And then how much stock does the United States Congress actually put in that document in the first place? I mean, it's going to be an understanding. There's going to be no signatures on it, we understand. And I think there would be real reason to question whether the details in that document are something that Iran will follow through on the first place. So those sanctions that were rolled back by the Congress, I'm not sure that what comes out today is going to deter them. In fact, we heard Speaker Boehner say that if he does not like what is in this document, the sanctions issue is going to come back, quote, very soon.
This is what we're seeing the statement will be. It will not be a framework agreement. It will be a framework, quote, understanding. And that's due in part to opposition to a two-stage agreement from Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. Earlier this year, he said there should be one deal that nails down specifics and does not permit the other sides to make things more difficult by giving wiggle room on interpretation. So what we're seeing potentially here is something, again, very generic. Now, supposedly there's going to be an additional document with more detail outlining what those understandings mean. But as of this time on the show today, we're still seeing that the Iranians have not signed off on anything yet. So whether or not we'll see that text today or not is a question. But it's likely that these talks are going to be continued at least until midsummer. So now the new deadline is the end of June for an actual plan. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got another half hour of the broadcast coming up. So we'll continue to take your phone calls and continue this discussion. What do you think about this so-called deal with Iran on their nuclear program? And, of course, the situation involving Saeed and the other two Americans who were imprisoned in Iran illegally. One a Washington Post reporter, another who was just visiting his grandmother in Iran, and they have both been imprisoned as well. Because of it, it does seem, because, you know, one of those driving factors is, of course, being American, in Saeed's case, being an American Christian. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air. Let's go to Marlene, calling in from North Carolina online. For Marlene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jordan. This is in regard indirectly to Pastor Saeed, but it just seems to me that we have to beg the president to even discuss bringing Pastor Saeed home. And he keeps using this excuse now about leaving no American behind, but he through non-transparency, he exchanged five terrorists for a defector, Bo Berdahl, but yet he leaves four patriotic, brave Americans laying on the ground in Benghazi. And nobody seems to care that we don't leave any American behind. Then I don't understand how it's used in one instance and not the other.
Well, I think, listen, Marlene, we can question. We have, and Than, we were very vocal in our opposition to the release and the way they were released of those five Taliban members from Guantanamo Bay. It's not that we don't want to get Americans home. Even maybe Americans have done things that are wrong, because they can be tried in the U.S. system for that. But going to even great lengths for a deserter, and there, you know, we could say that now about Bo Bergdahl, because that's what he's being charged with by the U.S. military.
Yeah, the question wasn't about bringing Sergeant Bergdahl home. It was about sending five terrorists back to the battlefield. And we know already that there have already been a couple of those who've been back in contact with the enemy. So that's sort of a separate issue altogether. But when it comes to Pastor Saeed Abedini, here's the bottom line. The leader of the free world, the president of the United States and his administration, sits across from his captors right now. The two issues shouldn't be intertwined. We tried to keep them from being intertwined. But this president sat down with the Iranian regime without Pastor Saeed Abedini being home. Our bottom line on this is very simple, Jordan. He just simply can't walk away from that table until Pastor Saeed Abedini is home. The issues have somewhat become intermingled, but Saeed needs to be home before anything is signed.
We got some breaking news out of Switzerland. Senior U.S. officials are telling the AP again now that the Iranian talks could actually go into Wednesday, one day past the deadline, which is today and this evening, quote, if it's useful. So, again, it looks like we may not even get the language that we were supposed to have by the end of today from these talks. So they're already being the initial deadline of March 31st. Looks like they're already pushing that till tomorrow. We're going to stay on this. We got another half hour of the broadcast. That's breaking news. Remember, we have a matching challenge. Anything you donate right now to the ACLJ, final day, is doubled. So this is a great time to make a financial contribution by going online to aclj.org and donating online at aclj.org or by phone 877-989-2255.
Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition, No Deals with Iran Without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
Freedom.
Secular Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Breaking news. We knew this morning that there was news. I tweeted this out that the nuclear talks would, they got past this deadline, supposedly. They would come forward with some kind of, not a framework agreement, but a framework, quote, understanding that would be released sometime today, probably later in the evening, kind of close of business on the eastern East Coast, which would be basically near midnight in Switzerland. And now, just a few minutes ago, the AP has tweeted out, and I retweeted this as well, that senior U.S. officials say Iran nuclear talks could continue beyond deadline. That's this deadline, quote, if useful. So already the language which accompanied the story this morning, that the language had not yet been agreed to by Iran, even this broad understanding language, we may not receive that now until tomorrow. So then when you look towards also this deadline of the end of June, these are moving posts. So as much as they try to set these deadlines, they're not going to walk away from these negotiations. That's what the Obama administration has shown, unless the Iranians were really just impossible to deal with, and they're master negotiators. So they're not going to ever seem like they're not willing to talk and listen. They've got the world exactly where they've wanted it for since 1979, which is sitting down and taking them seriously. And that's one of the problems here, is that we are taking them as a serious negotiating partner, that they will come to agreements and they will stick by those agreements and abide by those agreements, even though in the past they've shown they will not. We're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And do not forget Saeed Abedini. As we approach Easter, Saeed, again, is imprisoned in Iran. We are sitting at the negotiating table with Iran, working on framework deals, and he is not yet home to his wife and his children in Idaho. President Obama's spoken out. President Obama's met with the family. Secretary Kerry has spoken out. But we've got to do more. You know, he's got to get home at a certain point. Actions are going to speak much louder, even than words and even than meetings, because, again, this is a moving deadline with Iran. And unlike in the past when the U.S. would be handling this very much back-channeled, they're now sitting across the table with the Iranians. We've got to do more and demand that there's no deal with Iran without Saeed's release. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org. You can sign that petition online. We're going to be taking more of your phone calls in the second half hour of the broadcast. Let's go right to the phones now. Cheryl in New York on line two. Cheryl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for taking my phone call, and God bless you for all you're doing. I just wanted to mention something that today I happened to be reading something on Jerusalem Post.
Sure.
And it mentioned that Iran is trying to smuggle into Lebanon, to Hezbollah, that they're trying to smuggle in warhead-guided missiles. And this
right.
is amazing. And like Netanyahu said, they are the number one sponsor of global terrorism. And
well, Nancy, I think, listen, you're talking about something. Iran has been sending weapons to, of course, Hezbollah in Lebanon for decades now, and they have really increased their arsenal. So the report that you're reading, that they're trying to get more advanced weaponry, we've seen that in the past. We've seen between conflicts between Israel and Hezbollah, which has taken really a significant part of Lebanon under their control from Beirut south. We've seen an increase in their weaponry. First, you know, kind of these crude rockets, then more sophisticated rockets and missiles. And now you're talking about a guided missile system that Iran is exporting to what is not an ally of Iran, but is a true proxy. So they control Hezbollah. That's a difference in, you know, you have allies who can be not really totally under your control that you may work with, but Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran. This also brings up the complication of all these different regional conflicts that are happening right now in the Middle East that are impacting the whole world. We want you to take a stand on these issues, and we need your support. It's a matching challenge. Great time to donate to us. You can donate online at aclj.org or by phone, 877-989-2255.
As negotiations intensify to reach a deal over Iran's nuclear capabilities, the focus is once again on Iran. While the Obama administration has repeatedly spoke out on behalf of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, now is the time for his release. Now more than ever, it's critical that as nuclear negotiations with Iran continue to move forward, the U.S. must not make a final deal with Iran until Pastor Saeed is released. Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition, No Deals with Iran Without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the breaking news coming out of Switzerland involving the nuclear discussions and the negotiations with Iran. For us at the ACLJ, this is not just a discussion about good versus bad policy or good deals versus bad deals, but it hits directly home because we represent Saeed Abedini's family. You've heard from Naghmeh Abedini. You know the Abedini children, Jacob and Rebecca. They're preparing for Easter. It's a very difficult time for them. Again, you go past birthdays, holidays, important days spiritually, and, of course, with their Christian faith. And as we approach Easter, another Easter without their dad, and 2.5 years now, it hit that mark last week. He's been away, so we're getting close to 3 years in June. And today, this morning, we get the announcement that the nuclear talks will continue to the end of June. We predicted on the broadcast yesterday that it'd be tough to see a way where these talks would just totally crumble and that all sides would walk away when you're dealing with the superpowers of the world in Iran. But we've also been told that there's some kind of framework understanding coming that will be accompanied by a supporting document that explains it more. That was supposed to come by really the close of business today on the eastern and the east coast, which would have been close to midnight in Switzerland. Now they're saying that this could push the AP latest breaking news, saying that U.S. officials say they would push it into tomorrow if they have to. So you see, these are moving deadlines. You can only put so much specificity into these exact dates. It's really around this time period. And it doesn't like we're going to get a significant amount of information about what this framework understanding is. So, again, the debate will continue in Washington about the potential of increased sanctions or new sanctions on Iran. Saeed is not yet home, and we're asking you to join our petition, of course, to demand his release right now. It's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org to do that. And we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Alan in Texas on line one. Alan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Yeah, my question is, why would the United States support Iran with funding, knowing that Israel is our ally and they want to see the destruction of Israel, when that just doesn't make sense?
Well, you know what the issue is, Alan, is that though Iran has shown in the past its willingness to fight with Israel through Hezbollah, which has gone to war with Israel and some significant conflicts just in the last decade. And so we've seen that in the Israel-Lebanon war in 2006. And, of course, Iran has even backed Hamas. And, guys, I don't know if we have the sound. I want to check, but there was language from U.S. officials, because there's all this death to America chanting and destroy Israel and all that that comes out of the Iranian top leaders. And the U.S. has kind of tried to tamp this down and say it's just domestic talk. They're just talking to their audience. And so we don't really take that language seriously. Now, if it was a small country that didn't have a nuclear program already and was making these kind of comments, but it wasn't the top leadership, maybe. But this is the top leaders. It's a country of close to 80 million. They have a nuclear program, and they have been fighting with Israel, attempting to destroy it through their proxy Hezbollah in the last decade. So not only are they number one state sponsor of terrorism around the world, through Hezbollah, they are fighting the Israelis. They are funding the enemies of Israel who do kill Israelis. So they're on the battlefield. They just use Hezbollah to do that because Hezbollah happens to be a bit closer. We're looking for that sound, but the U.S. has, the U.S. State Department spokespeople have played that down, saying, well, this is just rhetoric. But the truth is, rhetoric matters, especially from the United States. I mean, could you imagine if President Obama was saying we need to destroy Iran, that the Iranians would sit at the negotiating table? I mean, Than, the truth is, the Iranians get mad if our members of Congress take any steps that oppose them, and they get all upset by that. And our actual leader, our president of the United States, he's not coming out there saying we need to destroy Iran. He's trying to create a some kind of dialogue. But those same leaders who will sit down at the table will then go back to Iran and chant death to America.
Rhetoric clearly matters, especially when you're talking about a regime like Iran. And one of our first priorities when sitting down at this table should have been to get a concession from Iran about their stated intentions towards Israel. And yet, just yesterday, Jordan, as these talks are going forward, as we're looking to put a framework understanding in place, as I guess what we're calling it now, there was a report out of the Times of Israel just yesterday that was talking about how the commander of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard militia was saying that the destruction of Israel is, quote, non-negotiable. So that's who you're dealing with. You're talking about our most stable ally in the region. You're negotiating with their enemy that has not drawn back in any way, shape, or form on their ultimate goal of destroying Israel. That should have been one of the primary building blocks of this negotiation. And it appears like, Jordan, we've gotten absolutely nowhere on that front.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls if you want to talk to us on air. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I do want you to listen to, this is a State Department spokesperson, Marie Harf, being asked about by Wolf Blitzer about the kind of how this is similar to, should it be seen as similar to North Korea and, of course, the North Korean program. Let's listen, Byte 17.
North Korea not only has a nuclear bomb, but they have missiles capable of using those bombs. And a lot of people are concerned the same thing is going to happen with Iran right now. Why shouldn't they be so concerned?
Well, just from a technical standpoint, we're at completely different places when we look at Iran's nuclear program today than we were with North Korea's. And if you just look at the fact that for the last months we've been negotiating, we've been living under the joint plan of action, where Iran's nuclear program is frozen, it's rolled back in key areas, and the IAEA has confirmed they've lived up to their commitments. We're also talking about much more transparency, much more verification, and we will not take a bad deal, Wolf.
Yeah, okay, we're told all this, oh, we're going to see all this transparency. We've never seen transparency from Iran, that the IAEA has confirmed they've lived up to their commitments. And the truth is the IAEA has been kept out of certain nuclear sites in Iran, and they have been for a long time, not just under the recent deal. And then we go to the sanctions issue. Do sanctions work or not? And I want to take a phone call, actually, before I do that, because we have great calls coming in. Let's go to Abe calling from Illinois on line 3. Abe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. Iran is holding captive all these people as a bargaining chip. It's the same game they played against Jimmy Carter. And I don't believe that Iran is to be trusted.
Well, I think, listen, Abe, I agree with you. Now, what was interesting is that in the past, these Americans who have had these issues with Iran would usually be released by this time, that this had gone on about long enough. And so, you know, I hope, I pray, and we are doing everything we can. A lot of stuff we can't talk about on the show, we can't talk about publicly, to see sides release. And so we hope that that's the case, but we also have to plan for that not being the case. And so because it's a new paradigm, because the U.S. is sitting across the table, Iran oftentimes, though they talk a big talk and almost make you concerned about if you talk too tough, they will take action, you know, put Saeed's life in jeopardy. The truth is that the reason why those hostages were released was because they were concerned that a new president, President Reagan, would come right in, and if you're not going to release these Americans, well, we'll just make sure that those of you who did this are punished. And they believed his rhetoric, that he would take significant military action to seek justice for those Americans who were being held captive as hostages. Saeed is a hostage too, and I agree with you, Abe. So there is some concern that when the talk gets too weak and we're basically begging at the table with Iran to sign a deal, please sign a deal, Iran, how can we get you to sign a deal, that we're not, that that's not the right tone when you're dealing with the Islamic Republic and a system that is jointly run by an Ayatollah, a religious autocrat, and a military force, this kind of business slash military force known as the Revolutionary Guard. And Than, we do have Congress looking at the potential of new sanctions that could get to President Obama's desk, and they've kind of given the some time for these negotiations to work. So a lot will come down to, is there anything substantive in this so-called memorandum of understanding, though it won't even be that, just a framework understanding that's coming out of these talks, but maybe now we'll get tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, first of all, Abe is absolutely correct that the burden of proof to demonstrate that you're a trustworthy negotiating partner, that should be on Iran. That shouldn't be on the United States, and that's where Saeed comes in. But on the question of sanctions, Jordan, you're right. We are only in this period of rolled back sanctions because Congress agreed to give the president some time to move on this. We heard from Speaker Boehner last week. We heard from Leader Mitch McConnell, and frankly, a bipartisan group in both bodies, that that time has essentially run out. There's a bipartisan group that thinks that if there is not a framework understanding today, tomorrow, that satisfies them, and if that accompanying document does not prove to them that these negotiations are on the right track, I think you're going to see at least a readdressing of those rollback sanctions on the floor of both chambers very, very quickly, maybe even additional sanctions. Last week, Jordan, they were talking about not just reinstituting the previous sanctions, but actually instituting new ones. So this really injects Congress right back into it.
Yeah, and folks, we'll continue to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. So not just the reimplementation of existing sanctions, but even new sanctions, because Iran has been unwilling to come to an agreement that Congress deems acceptable to give the administration even more time to sit across the table without the new sanctions being posed. Folks, this is a great time if you can make a financial contribution to the ACLJ, because you'll be making double the impact to the American Center for Law and Justice. You can donate online at aclj.org. So it's a great time to make a donation, aclj.org, or by phone, call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. As negotiations intensify to reach a deal over Iran's nuclear capabilities, the focus is once again on Iran. While the Obama administration has repeatedly spoke out on behalf of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, now is the time for his release. Now more than ever, it's critical that as nuclear negotiations with Iran continue to move forward, the U.S. must not make a final deal with Iran until Pastor Saeed is released. Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition. No deals with Iran without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the potential of this Iranian nuclear deal. And if you want to talk to us on air, again, it's 1-800-684-3110. We're supposed to have the deal by the end of this month. That's today, March 31st. And we're supposed to get some idea, actually, it was going to be released publicly, a framework that would – it was not a, it was a framework of understanding. Now, that's different than a memorandum of understanding. You know, that's kind of legal diplomatic talk. That's different than an agreement in the legal diplomatic talk. So something simple. Supposedly Iran was going to sign off on it, and we were going to have that by the end of the day. Now they're already pushing it till tomorrow. So these are always moving deadlines. You can't get in your head too much that, you know, when they say March 31st and they won't get into April 1st. And, of course, looking down the road, we're talking about the end of July, end of June, which, again, could easily go to the end of July. You know, we extend another week. We'll extend another couple weeks. So the real issue is, I think that Iran is looking at a negotiating time frame of basically the Obama administration. I think it's unlikely, and it's certainly uncertain if the next president of the United States, whoever he or she may be, is necessarily going to continue talks like this after a couple of years. Because if you can't get to it after a couple of years, you're probably not going to get to a deal. And even if there is a deal, there's a question about whether the next president would uphold that, or whether they'd say, I'm not, you know, I don't support a deal like this with Iran. I don't trust the Iranians. So they've kind of got that window as well. So they do have a timeline. There is some pressure on them, but it's you see how it's these moving goalposts. And so that makes it much more difficult to predict. What we actually see, we'll analyze. What language we actually get, we will analyze for you on the broadcast this week as soon as that happens. Until then, we also want to remind you about Pastor Saeed Abedini, an American imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith and not yet released at a time when the U.S. is sitting at the table with Iran. Let me go right to the phone. Sherry is calling in from Alaska on line 5. Sherry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. At the risk of sounding like the little kid who pipes up and says the emperor has no clothes, what I want to know is what case is Iran making for needing peaceful nuclear energy in the first place? They have more oil than they need. They have all the sun in the world. Between oil and solar arrays, they could power their own country, export power. So how are they convincing us that they need peaceful nuclear power?
Well, I think, listen, they're saying they have a right to, as a world power, that they have a right to peaceful nuclear programs because other countries are allowed to have nuclear programs. Now, there's one thing for them to say they can have a program. There's another for them to say that the world has got to endorse it and that the world has got to not only endorse it, but not continue to sanction a regime which is calling for the death to America, calling for the destruction of Israel, a human rights violator, mistreats its own people, has illegally imprisoned Americans, which it will not yet return. I mean, the list goes on and on. And they want, what's interesting here, Than, too, and this is part of this deal discussion, is the whole point about how many centrifuges can they have, and that gets to the issue of having a weaponized system or a system that can be weaponized. And one of the sticking points was that it was supposed to go from, you know, 10,000 or so to 6,000, and now we're being told that Iran has not agreed to do that. And you don't need those kind of centrifuges to keep a peaceful program going.
Yeah, Sherry makes a great point here, because Iran continues to insist that they only want to use this for peaceful purposes, and yet every demand that they make makes the world not believe that claim, because they do continue to want at least 10,000 centrifuges. There's been some reports that that's going to be dropped to 6,000. Iran continues to want 10,000. Actually, last week, Jordan, the Ayatollah injected the number 190,000. The bottom line here, all of those numbers suggest a weapons program. And in fact, this week they also said that they want to keep their underground facility that has another 500 centrifuges that would maybe be insulated from any kind of a military attack. So Iran's words and their actions don't match up. And this is also key when it comes to Russia. I mean, you know, the foreign minister there, Sergei Lavrov, he's apparently heading back to talk about this agreement. So apparently there is one in case. But Sherry's point about peaceful program versus a military program, what Iran is asking for suggests that they want much more than a peaceful program.
Now, I'm seeing this AP story, and I don't know if this is a misprint or it's not just exactly used, but they even go on and say that the Obama administration is telling reporters that any deal will stretch the time Iran needs to make a nuclear weapon from the present 2 to 3 months to at least a year. Now, most of the talk has been that this would take a decade to get for Iran to have a deliverable nuclear weapon. Now, that may be a distinction there, a warhead versus a ability to deliver it through a ballistic missile system that was in their opinion safe to shoot over their country, because you see North Korea's issues with that. But even this timeline, so it says, well, Iran will have a program they could get to a bomb within a year. I mean, that's the agreement point we're talking about. So that's a pretty sophisticated nuclear program that you'd be potentially agreeing to. Now take a listen, because this is the talk about this whole rhetoric in Iran, the death to America chance, the destruction of Israel, and the negotiations. And why do we take their rhetoric for granted and kind of say, oh, they're just talking to their domestic audience? If their domestic audience eats up death to America and destroy Israel, isn't that a concern for people, put nuclear weapons in their hand? Take a listen.
When the supreme leader of Iran is continuing, in the middle of these negotiations, is continuing to make statements like death to America, how is that not a problematic for you? How is that not something that, why are you just willing to let it slide, basically? And you are holding the Prime Minister of Israel to comments that he made and has since changed.
Well, Matt, I think we'd hardly put the Supreme Leader and the leadership of Israel in the same category. Israel is a strategic partner, a security partner.
The Iranians can be trusted and the Israelis can't? Is that what
you mean? No, I'm actually trying to convey that our relationship with Israel is abiding, it's strong, it's a security relationship, it's one that we're committed to. Do we have disagreements on some issues, like how we should proceed with preventing Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon? Yes. Do we believe that it isn't possible to just forget what the prime minister says when it's conflicting with past precedent and past policy for some time? Yes. But obviously, we're continuing our discussions. The secretary has been in touch with Prime Minister Netanyahu. We remain committed to our relationship. Remember, we're not evaluating our relationship with Israel. We're evaluating how to proceed as it relates to pursuing a two-state solution.
All of that is well and good, but the supreme leader of Iran represents a regime that took over the U.S. embassy in Tehran and held hundreds of Americans hostages for a long time, is what you say is a leading state sponsor of terrorism,
and remains and will be even if there's a deal.
Right, and yet you're willing to let his word slide, but not that of a country with which you say you have this great security relationship.
No, I would disagree with that. I would say, one, as a reminder, even if there is a deal with Iran, it doesn't mean we let slide or forget either, whether it's the comments, or more importantly, the actions, state sponsorship of terrorism, their human rights record, the fact that they're holding American citizens, they continue to hold American citizens, including a Washington Post reporter, in their jails. I mean, these are all issues that we remain very concerned about. Those concerns are not going to be.
So, I mean, again, this is the problem, I think. I want to play that extended dialogue for those of you who are listening to the broadcast, because you get these issues. And there is again a reporter pressing, saying, listen, why do you take these words for granted? You say, well, that doesn't matter. They're talking to a domestic audience. But when it comes to Israeli prime minister, you take it all so seriously. He can't speak politically, but the Iranians can say death to America, and you don't take that seriously. Again, we're going to analyze if we get a framework before the broadcast tomorrow or during the broadcast. We want you to take a stand for Saeed. Call 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition, No Deals with Iran Without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.